My name is Arun Gandhi, and I'm from Rochester, New York.
You're an activist against violence, and you travel the world educating people on what violence is and the nature of anger. Your grandfather taught that to you, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you tell me about the family dynamic and how you were learning that growing up?
Well, I grew up in South Africa at a time when there was a lot of prejudice there. People hated each other because of the color of their skin. And I became a victim of that hate at a very young age. I was beaten up by whites and then by blacks, and both the times because they didn't like the color of my skin. And it filled me with a lot of rage, and I wanted eye for an eye justice. And became an obsession with me, and my parents saw this growing in me, and they decided it was time to go to India and give me an opportunity to live with grandfather and hopefully learn something from him. So I was taken there, and I stayed with grandfather for 2 years, and he taught me some very valuable lessons. I think the first lesson that he taught me was about understanding anger and learning to use it intelligently instead of abusing it. He used the analogy of electricity. He says, anger is just like electricity. It's useful and good if we use it intelligently, but it can be deadly and destructive if we abuse it. So just as we use electricity intelligently for the good of humanity, we must learn to use anger in the same way intelligently so that we can use it for the good of humanity rather than abuse it and cause death and destruction. And he showed me how to, try to manage the anger, how to channel the energy into constructive action, which is the basis of the book I wrote, The Gift of Anger.
So aside from what your grandfather taught you, like, what is your own personal motivation for the work that you do? Like, what is your own inner strength that you kind of bring to your work?
Well, my grandfather used to always say that working for peace is like farming. You can only go and plant seeds and hope and pray that those seeds will eventually germinate. And so when I grew up and I, began to reflect on all the lessons that grandfather taught me, I thought that they were very profound lessons. And it made a very big change in my life. And I thought it's more important that I share it with as many people as possible in the hope that it'll make the same impact on their lives as it did on my life.
Just out of personal curiosity, your grandfather to you, growing up, your perception of him, was he just grandfather who had a huge impact on you, or was he Gandhi?
Well, for me, he was always a grandfather, and I always treated him as a grandfather. But we couldn't escape the fact that he was an internationally renowned person, because every morning I would get up and I would find a few hundred people standing outside the house just to get a glimpse of him. They would just wait there patiently. The moment he came out and they saw him, they would be happy and go to work. So when you see that kind of adulation there, you can not ignore the fact that he is loved by people all over.
What effect did that have on you as a child?
At that moment, of course, it was that kind of reflected glory. You know, I was happy to be so close to him, and he was such a great man. So I was enjoying the exposure that I was getting there.
So if someone wants to adopt a non-violence mentality, if they're wanting to make that change in their life, where do they start? What's your best advice for that?
Well, fundamentally, the principles of nonviolence are love, respect, understanding, acceptance, and appreciation. These are the five principles on which the whole philosophy is based. And these attributes exist in every human being. But because we have adopted a materialistic lifestyle where we have to show ourselves as being very powerful and aggressive, we suppress the goodness in us and allow the aggressive and the violent aspects to take control. And so we become the catalyst to increase violence in society. But if we realize that, you know, we are not here to destroy each other, we are here to learn to live together with each other. And if we change that attitude, and instead of tolerating diversity among us, if we learn to respect diversity, we'll make a very big difference there. So it's a very simple philosophy. But we are so geared towards looking for something profound that we are, you know, trying to find something very profound in his philosophy, and we miss the very core of his teachings.
So maybe in a sense, one of the first steps would be to kind of maybe simplify?
We can simplify our life, and we must realize that there is more to life than just making money. And we spend so much time chasing after more and more goodness and more things that we can buy. Instead, if we learn to build better relationships between people and learn about each other and reach out to each other, we'll make a very big difference in this world. See, eventually, when we die, we can't take all the things we buy.
Your grandfather, I think he was considered to be a minimalist. Do you think that's correct? Mm-hmm. Would you consider yourself to be a minimalist?
Not like him, no. I have... Yeah, no. But I try to control my needs. And.
Is there anything else that you would like to add?
Well, I could speak for hours on the subject, but... One of the things that I would like your listeners to understand is that, you know, we tend to focus a lot on just the physical violence, and we think that alone is the problem in the society. But the real problem is the passive violence. And what I learned from Grandfather about physical violence and passive violence is that we all commit passive violence all the time, every day, consciously and unconsciously, because of the society we live in, because of the perceptions of society. And passive violence is the kind of violence we commit to each other without using any physical force. You know, we look down on people, we judge people, we discriminate, we oppress, we exploit, and, you know, even things like wasting food, for instance, when we know that there are so many people dying of hunger. And all of these things are forms of passive violence. So when I was living with Grandfather, he made me draw a genealogical tree of violence. Just as we do a family tree, violence had two branches, physical and passive. And every day I had to analyze everything that I had experienced during the day and put them down on that tree. If it was the kind of violence where physical force is used, that would go under physical violence. But if it's the kind of violence where we don't use any physical force, and yet we hurt people, directly or indirectly, that would be passive violence. And to find out whether this is passive violence or not, I had to ask myself the simple question, if somebody were to do this to me, would I be hurt by it or would I be helped by it? And if I came to the conclusion that it would hurt me, then that would be passive violence. So when I did this introspection, I was amazed that within a few months I was able to fill up a whole wall in my room with acts of passive violence. The physical violence didn't grow very much because there's a limit to what you can do physically. But passive violence grew endlessly because it's limitless. You can hate and do things to people as much as you want to without any limits there. So then he explained to me the connection between the two. He said, we commit passive violence all the time, every day, consciously and unconsciously, and that generates anger in the victim, and the victim then resorts to physical violence to get justice. So it is passive violence that fuels the fire of physical violence. So logically, if we want to put out that fire of physical violence, we have to cut off the fuel supply. And since the fuel supply comes from each one of us, we have to be the change we wish to see in the world. If we don't change our attitudes and the way we behave, we are never going to create peace in the world.
I think that concludes the interview. Thank you
very much. Thank you.